titled Awakened, because we believe that 2026 is a year of a great awakening. We believe that God is causing us to awaken to His realities beyond what we think. Someone say amen. So week one, we spoke about fresh fire for the city, because we believe that there is a fire that God is igniting, and He's just looking for people that can awaken before He can begin to awaken the entire city. Week two, we spoke about prayer, which was last week. We spoke about rebuilding the altar in our personal lives. And we said that you cannot experience revival if your personal life does not have a strong altar. And then we demystified everything that comes with altars, as the world would say. But we simply said, when we speak about the altar, we speak about a place where you and God meet. A place where it's a place of appointment, where you are directly accessing everything that God has for you. And so today we are taking the next step into part three. And I want to say, revival needs fuel. When there is an awakening, when God is awakening us, there will need to be something that will fuel this awakening. And prayer is one of those things that fuels, or that charges and gives strength and sustenance to a revival or an awakening. Prayer does that. Not only do we build an altar of prayer, but that prayer becomes fuel. But there's something called worship. And I want you to understand that when we worship God, what we do is we invite Him in. What worship does, it is an open invitation that we cannot do it by ourselves. We cannot speak for ourselves. We cannot walk by ourselves. But Father, we need you. And so this afternoon, I want us to look at the subject, revival starts in worship. Didn't your neighbor say, revival starts in worship? Now, I need us to understand that when I speak about worship, we have to clear the noise. It's not about the noise. It's not about the talent. It's not necessarily about all the things that we have pushed and made things of essence when it comes to worship. It's not about the music alone. Turn to your neighbor, say, it's not the music alone. But revival starts when our hearts are properly positioned before God. That's the breeding ground for an awakening. When your heart, not your song, when your heart, not your skill or your talent, first of all, your heart must be in the right place before God. Now, I want you to get this clearly. Worship is not the warm-up that we do before we hear the word. That's not worship. When we worship, we are not warming up so that we can hear the word. I used to hear, when we used to grow up, people would say, no, we need to sing so that the word finds fertile ground. We must always be fertile ground for the word. The song does not give you fertile ground, but what gives you fertile ground is worship. And worship is not the background to ministry. What do I mean? Worship is not what you do before you pray. It's not what you do before you preach. I know we've created a culture where every time before the pastor preaches, there must be a song. A few years ago, I went to a meeting where there was no worship team. There was no one. And because I had been cultured in there must be a song, I struggled to preach. And the Holy Spirit said to me, we are born. It's not all the time that you need a song to be able to preach. Worship is not what we do when we want to pray strong prayers. You know what you do when you go on YouTube and put in the music that makes you pray? That's not. So worship is how we honor God's presence. Hear me well now. Worship is how we honor God's presence. Honor means we see you. We acknowledge you. We obey you. That's worship. when you look at scripture, whenever God would move powerfully, worship always preceded breakthrough. No, no, no. Breakthrough was not preceded by a song. It was preceded by worship. Hear me now. Let me off ramp. By the time you hear them sing, their hearts were already aligned. Let me repeat this one. By the time Paul and Silas, you would hear them lift a sound, already these were men that were walking in obedience to God. And so God was not honoring the noise. He was not honoring the instruments, the cymbals. He was honoring the hearts that were already aligned to God. In Joshua 6, you see worship came before the walls fell. Hear me now. Worship came before the walls fell. Not the sounding of the trumpet. Worship. By the time the trumpet sounded, it was signifying their obedience to God. Remember, if you know the story, it was God who said, go around, and then on the what, do what. Who gives the instruction? God. Who obeys? Men. And what does he do? Breakthrough comes. Because these people were people whose hearts were positioned right. 2 Chronicles 20, worship goes ahead of the army. Before they would fight, their hearts needed to be aligned and in the right place. I've always asked myself, let me just off-ramp again. I've always asked myself, why do we sing and nothing happens? Male chorus. Why do we make noise and nothing happens? People come in sick into the meeting and we were singing and we even felt goosebumps. But there is no essence, there is no power. I believe God is giving us the answer. In Acts 16, worship shook the prison doors. Listen, revival has never come through a song list. Revival has never come through beautiful music. Come on, we've studied revival in this church before. It's something we do. It's part of us. We always study revival. Whenever you check the revivals before, there was nowhere where revival came because they had a proper worship list. But revival has always broken out when people were hungry. When people were hungry, God would then come in. When you look at the book of John chapter 4, it speaks about the Father is seeking worshipers. John 4, 23 and 24. It speaks about the Father is not seeking performers. He's not seeking spectators. He's not seeking participants of a church service. He is looking for worshipers. No, you have to stick with me here. Jesus says, for the Father is seeking for worshipers. Jenner Stream Center Church, I need us to understand. Awakening deepens. Revival spreads when worship becomes our posture, not just our song. The revival finds ground and root when worship is not always the song that we sing, but it is the life we live. It's the life we live. So then worship is about posture before it is about music. So now the first thing, and I know that this might be a very big change in your understanding of worship. Because we've allowed culture to dictate to us and not the word of God. Where's Makau? He's not here. Someone was saying to me when we were coming in, yo, let it be cutting, let it be a bit of let it be cutting, but how good? And I said to her, no, people now know the Lord. They don't come because of big speakers, they come because his voice. She looked at me, she was like, I'm sorry. And I said, no, we have to correct this myth. I doubt what else on the phone is. That's not worship. If you come for the music, God forgive you. Should the music be bad? Oh no. You know me. Oh no, we can't have bad music. But should we come for the music? No. Worship is what we come for. So true worshipers, the Bible says, will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. You see now, not in music and performance. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So you need the Holy Spirit to worship God. No, we've called things worship when it was just people doing their thing. It said true worshipers shall worship him in spirit and in truth, which means the Holy Spirit must be the inspiration for worship, the guide for worship. The Holy Spirit must be present. So you can't come and claim to worship when you are living a life of disobedience. Because the results will contradict. I'm a man of results. I am a man of results. I look for the results. If you claim to be in the light, there must be light. So notice this. Jesus does not define worship by the sound. He defines it by the posture. Doesn't rush to what we rush to. Music can assist worship. Hear me well. Music can what? Assist worship. But I need you to get this and get it clearly. Music does not replace the surrender in your heart. No, we need to hear this. We have replaced the surrender, the conviction that the Holy Spirit is giving you, and we've used the song to quiet the voice. We've used the sound to quiet the repentance that God is calling. We are not worshiping, my brother and my sister. We are just drowning our sorrows. Because music does that. It helps you. You know, music is a very good relief. But a child of God was never designed to enjoy music only as a relief. First of all, you were designed to worship. So many people sing songs, but few people offer themselves. People sing. Huh? People sing, Magelda. Hey, Tembu, so people sing. Hey. I've seen people do. People sing, man. This person can sing. But we have a major problem in this generation. Where are those that will become a living sacrifice? Where are those that will first burn in the altar until it is not you singing, it's the fire, because it has consumed you, it's now singing through you? Moses comes to the field, to the bush, and it is burning. But the problem is, this fire does not die down. It's like the bush is no more. It's just the fire. Sekuselel gama nje ukuthi it's a burning bush. Because, come with me, how does a bush keep burning and not die down and not burn out? It's because the fire continued to sustain this bush. Because God was now in the fire. I long for a time where our worship will not nigger on a song, but the song will now find strength in our worship. Haniko, the song will breathe through our lives. Romans 12 verse 1 reminds us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, because that is worship. Worship is when your pride bows. Come on, let me just talk. You always come to church. You always go to services where for you, every time you are jumping around for 45 minutes, you are jumping around. You've never been in a service where immediately the song began to rise because it was worship. Repentance hit you when you went on your knees. When every time yours is a jolly, you are a jolly good fellow all the time. There's something wrong. I remember I've been in meetings where from the moment I walk through the door, I just sense that today God is just speaking through me. These worshipers are just messing me up. And I'm on the floor the entire time. I stand up from there. If you ask me how was the service, tears will come from my eyes because the whole time, every song was convicting. But today I see our church services. Every song, we are up, we are jumping, we are there, we are there. Very few times, that's when we say, today's service was powerful. My cry is, where are the worshipers? Because worship is when control is released. No, let me say this. You will not get to a posture of worship until you have released control. If you are still the one controlling, you are still the one every time you choose the songs. They are chosen by you all the time. There must be a time in prayer where you come with your song and you get in and it gives you a groaning that cannot be uttered. You come with your song and it gives you a sound that cannot be interpreted, because it is not for the natural. It is for someone who is being led by the Spirit. We must come to a posture, not just music. Because worship is when God is honored above self. Until we've come to a place where when you come into the church service, you are unbothered about yourself. You are bothered about the hem of his garment. You are bothered about the heart of the king. You are bothered about the deep of God. You are not bothered about your clothes and what you wear. For now, I still see a generation that is bothered about fashion more than going on their knees in worship. We need worshipers. I was talking to Mdu. I'm sorry, Mdu. I'm now bringing them into our private conversation. Pastors, And I was saying, Mdu, one of the things we will do this year at Gina Stream Center Church, there will no more be a worship team. There will be a music team. Because we are all worshipers. These ones are the ones who are skilled in music and worship, but they are not a worship team. We are the worshipers, all of us. They are placed by God to lead the music that expresses our worship. I won't chase you from this church if you still call them a worship team. I'll understand you're still catching up. Now you are, no, we won't chase you. We are you, you are us. But we're changing it. By September, we'll be talking about a music team. That means they must excel in the music because now they are musicians. We are worshipers together. So revival starts when worship moves from the front of the church on stage into our hearts. Worship and revival go together, but revival and awakening will start when our worship moves from here where I'm standing and worship is over there in our hearts. Now, listen. God dwells where he is honored. Psalm 22 verse 3 says, God inhabits the praises of his people. That word inhabit means to settle down. It means to remain, to dwell. When we say God inhabits, we are not saying he passes by. See, when you dwell, when you dwell, you come to my house and I welcome you. You sit on the couch and I bring water. You drink, you relax, we talk. We are not rushing. You ask to go to the small room, I show you that way you go. You come back, you sit down. I go, I ask Magel Damin to make some tea. You drink the tea. You are not rushing, you are here. And we sit down, we talk about football. We talk about everything. I talk about why are you still not married. We talk about all these things. Why? You've come to dwell. Yeah, don't laugh because most of you are not married. I have a problem in this church. I'm saying to you, God inhabits the praises of his people. He settles. He remains. He dwells. It changes the game now. Listen, God is present everywhere. Someone say God is present everywhere. But listen to this. He will only manifest where he is honored. There's a difference between the presence of God and the manifest presence of God. You will never, some of you, you need to stop this thing of being a Christian for many years, but you don't know the manifest presence of God. You know what the problem is? You still don't live a life of honor. You are playing. You need to stop playing. You know, there was a time where I was starting off in the faith and I was playing and I met guys, ladies and gents, who from the moment they speak, you could just sense that this person carries something I don't have. And I'm saying to you today, when you see someone that carries a heaviness and a weight that you sense I don't have, you must know that your life still needs to go even deeper in honoring God. So God is present, but he will manifest where there is honor. Honor means we obey him. No, not this thing you do when you say you honor us as pastors. Fundiswam. Babe. Oh Lord. Bless you, my pastor. No, that's not my Jesus. That's not. This is not the honor God is asking for. Yeah, he's asking for you to stop living with someone you are not married to. Yeah, he's asking you to stop confusing the church with gossip. Yeah, he's asking you to stop doing things you know very well that the scriptures have said these things are not part of your lifestyle. Yeah, it's when you stop flirting. When you are still not married, don't flirt if you are not married. They know me, they hear me, those who are not married. You are speaking nice to every lady. Every lady that comes, you speak nice. 7 of them are hopeful about you. That's not worship. That's not worship. Praise creates an atmosphere, but worship invites an abiding presence. When we praise him, we create an atmosphere. But now when we begin to worship, you see, praise, we can praise him, and an atmosphere is created because wherever his name is lifted. But you see, when we begin to worship, we invite him to stay. I know many people that praise the king. They praise him, but they don't live at the palace. You must be of the blood for you to live in the palace with the king. Worship, it seems, converts your bloodline and connects you to be one who dwells in the king's house. That is why worship will change a room. That's why worship will change a family. It's why worship will change a city. No. Not a sound. Worship. You will see a city begin to change because all of a sudden, the musicians in the city discovered something called worship. Amen. You will see a city change because all of a sudden, the pastors in the city discovered worship. Years ago, God told me something. To this day, I don't understand it, but I always share it. Because I'm hopeful someone will come and interpret it for me. He says to me, there are sounds that I will give to you that are not to be recorded. Because they are not to be sung as a performance, but they are to be brewed as a culture. Because I come from the artistic expression and performance era where everything we package it to take it to stage. He says to me, Lekuma Astela Han, I'll give you this thing, but I want you to keep it for yourself. Because this one is for you. One day. So revival does not come, Bazalwane, because we are talented. It comes because God is welcome. So if we want an awakening, we must cultivate a culture of worship that makes room for God. We must have a culture of worship that creates room for God. Now, I've never seen people who create room for God. All the time they come before God, they have an item list. That's why I said this year, we're going to have encounter nights where I have no message for you. Where we are all coming before the King. Where we are all coming in surrender. Probably the theme will just be a night of surrender. To what? To Him. That is all it's going to be. A night of surrender. So we're going to have a lot of those. Why? Because we're still wanting to shift, move, and tilt until we find a posture of worship. Someone say amen. Amen. Now, I need to end with this. Your hunger will determine how deep God takes you. We need people of depth in this season. We need people who are awakened to the revival and are sensitive to the heart of God. But what will separate those people from others, it's going to be this, your hunger. Listen to me. God is not moved by volume. He's not moved by how loud we are. Last week I said, God is not moved by how long your prayer is. Because now we have people telling people that our house is 30 minutes. It's about 5 hours. 5 hours. And I say, no, that's not the measure. And we do as if they pretend as if they never started there. These people of 4 5 hours and about 8 hours, when they talk now, it's like they never did for 5 minutes. And I'm saying to you, God is moved by hunger. Listen to Jesus. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Not those who are comfortable. Not those who are entertained. Those who hunger and thirst, blessed are those. Revival will not be sustained by excitement. It will be sustained by desperation for God. Until we are desperate enough that nothing else matters. Last week I told you about the Welsh revival. How it did not start with a crowd. It started with a few young people that were desperate enough. When the pastor came and locked the church and said the service is over, there were a couple, they didn't even reach 10 in number. They said, can we borrow the key? Why? We just want to pray. What was bothering them? These young people were awakened. And so what will sustain the revival is the desperation we have for God. So what is hunger for God? Number one, when you are hungry for God, better still, what does it do for you? When you are hungry for God, you don't struggle with purity. When you are hungry for God, you don't get entangled in conversations about holiness and purity. It just becomes who you are. The hunger for God drives you to a place where purity is not an issue for you. I've seen many people that struggle with lust, struggle with all these things that cause you to be impure. And they steal from you. And I've always said, I remember when I was still drinking alcohol, I never went to any counseling session. I never had any special counseling with the pastor when I struggled. I simply attached myself to people who were hungry for God. The more I learned what they were doing, the more I started doing it, and the more I went deep. Today, even if you can bring even what was my best type of alcohol, I will just sniff it and say, you can keep it. In fact, I will probably advise you to go get rid of it. Hunger will keep your heart tender. When you are hungry for God, you see how kind we become. You see how humble we are. Look at the apostles. The man Paul, if he lived today, he would be apostle, ganda, major. His titles would be massive, the apostle Paul. He would have too many words. We would probably, to get to him, we would probably need 70 people protocol before we get to him. But listen to the man when he says, even I still hunger, I still press toward the mark because I have not yet reached. When you are a person who's hungry, your heart becomes tender and open for God. When you are hungry for God, your spirit is always alive to the possibilities of God. When you are a person who's hungry, rarely do you bow down to sickness. Rarely do you bow down to lack. Rarely do you bow down to depression. Something always causes you to fight back. When you're a person of hunger. You know, one thing I've never allowed in my deepest hours of depression, one thing I never allowed the enemy to take from me was my prayer life. When I was going through difficult moments, one thing I always hold on to is my faith. Because sometimes we must be honest, when you are holding on to faith and everything is crumbling down, people call you crazy. No, let's be honest. It's not all the time when you're a person of faith and people are clapping. Sometimes they'll say, no, Mfundisi, be realistic now. Must be logical. But when you're a person who's hungry for God, you always remain and you retain a spirit that is alive. Have you ever visited these people of faith, even when they're on hospital, on the deathbed? And you visit them. This person is in pain, but they begin to encourage you. That is what it looks like. So worship is how we express our hunger. When worship becomes a routine, the awakening will fade, Bazalwa. When we are routinely just doing it, going through, we will lose this fire. But if we remain desperate, walk into every church service hungry. Walk into every prayer meeting as if you have never prayed before. Now let me give you a few things before I close. Just some checking points. Because this year we need an awakening. Number one, this is obvious. Check your posture. Check your worship posture. Remember, it's not a song list. It's not a service moment. We don't have moments of worship. we are not into the routine. Always ask yourself, do I worship only when I feel good? Ask yourself, do I worship when I feel good? Then you will get your answer if your posture is right. Because if you worship only when you feel good, then you have lost it. We worship with tears in our eyes and we'll still say, for you are holy. Holy, you are holy. We will worship even when, I remember when we were struggling to get a child. When people were suggesting, when she was on sick bed, doctor said, you can't move. You remember, she couldn't come even to church. It was not an easy moment. I remember coming to church and asking you, let's pray, Bazalwan. Because the doctors had said, we are not hopeful about your situation. But we would go back to the house and we would still worship. We would still retain. Because we knew that he is who he is. Not for what he has done, but for who he is. So revival starts when worship is restored to its rightful place. So 2026, we're going to be working hard to restore worship. We're working hard. Number two, worship as a daily practice. Three things. When you worship, always be a person of obedience. Always be a person of surrender. Always be a person of living holy. Three things. Obedience, surrender, living holy. This one of holiness, don't worry, we'll deal a lot with it in this season because people have downgraded holiness to do's and don'ts. It's not holiness. But holiness is being separated for God. So ordinary moments must become moments of surrender. Number three, don't disregard community as part of worship. Because in community, in coming to church, in coming to small groups, in coming to Connect class, that is where you get rebuked so that you can come and live holy. That is where you are inspired so that you can know that you have it in you. The kingdom is within. You get teaching in community. I always hear people say, no, I no longer go. I just do online. And I say, ooh, what a problem and a mess you are creating for yourself. You see, online, there's no one that will step on your toes. You see, it's not all the time when they gossip about you in church you must leave. Sometimes you must just understand God is teaching you worship. Sometimes they gossip about you and it's an opportunity to portray the fruits of the Spirit. If they've never gossiped about you, hey, I'm sorry, it's coming. It's a matter of time. They are coming for you. In this church, in the next one, and the one after it. They are coming for you. Every Sunday, I went to preach somewhere. When I was still not married, I used to have rings. I think I had two on this one and one on this hand. I just love rings. It's nothing. And I preached, man, and people were delivered and God did miraculously there. After church, the pastor says, Mfundi, my God, it's a bomb. And then it was as if I felt something was coming. And then he says to me, but Mfundi, Guys, Guess what I did? I left the rings the next day. And guess what God did? He showed up. I'm saying to you, sometimes when you are a worshiper, your heart becomes tender. I mean, I was offended. Come on, we just had a blessed time and someone is talking about a ring. Where is your focus? I was offended. The Holy Spirit said, you are a worshiper. Calm down. Didn't your neighbor say, calm down? And so I end with this. A worshiping church becomes a dwelling place for God. That is where he sits and that is where he dwells. Can someone say amen? Can I invite you to stand on your feet so that we can pray? Come on, let's just begin to talk to God this afternoon. Come on, if you can just have a posture of surrender this afternoon. Come on, your worship needs to change. If you can just surrender yourself right now and begin to posture yourself, position yourself. If there's repentance that needs to happen, this is the right time. Father, we honor you in this house. We honor you this afternoon. You are king of this house. You are Lord of this house. You are the Ancient of Days. Adonai Yahweh Elohim. Father, this afternoon we are before you because no other God belongs in the position where you sit. Uyingwele, uyesabeka, webethe mandla, enamikhosheni yahande kapha. Uyesabeka, uhlethe esihlalweni, senkhatimulo nebukhosi. Siyakela namhle mini yasentsambama. Khulula tinhlitiyo tethu tingene into your worship. May obedience be the order of this house. May surrender be the order of this house. May our music be an expression of who we worship. May our music be expression of who we worship. On Monday, on Tuesday, Father, we pray. On Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, Father, we pray. At our jobs, our workplaces, in our schools, in this city, in our homes, may the worship of Yahweh take over. Supala tekano preesa, likapaya son pretekepe. We honor you. We exalt you. We glorify you. We extol your name. Makatelia sombre. Turn our hearts, change our hearts. Turn our hearts, change our hearts. Let there be an awakening. Let there be an awakening. Let the seeds of revival, let the seed of revival be sown. Let the seeds of our prayers be multiplied. O kaparadesi. Come on, can we just close our eyes and lift up our hands? Come on, let's just close our eyes and lift up our hands. This is a sign of surrender. This is a sign of surrender. This is a sign of surrender. We say yes. We say yes, yes, Lord, yes. We say yes, we say yes. Come on, this is a yes to worship. Say yes.